Would you go to university in Dublin like her father, or Belfast like her mother? Erin never warmed to the familiar form ma'am popular in the Republic. She would definitely start learning to drive earlier than her parents, who both left it ridiculously late. And obviously, she would go to the Gaelscoil up the road. That wasn't even up for discussion. Our generation had been told how useless and pointless Irish was, but now our friends were telling us about their kids speaking Irish to each other on the way home from school. It didn't seem to be out of reach. None of these things seemed to be out of reach. All she needed was a name and a birthday. This conversation would come to haunt me over the following days. Shortly after La Serena was born, we were told that she had Down syndrome. This was not information we had prepared for, and neither of us had any relevant experience or knowledge to hear it as other than bad news. Our ignorance cast a shadow over this wonderful event, the arrival of our long-hoped-for daughter. The temptation to give up on the outside world was very strong, but Erin insisted that I not throw away my first serious opportunity to get published, so I pressed down hard on my feelings and kept writing. Down syndrome isn't an incapacity like blindness or deafness. It's a different kind of normal. It makes people more vulnerable to some illnesses and less vulnerable to others. Certain developmental milestones can happen later, but not always. As new parents, you discover that you have a baby with an extra chromosome, but you don't yet know how that will express itself. Any time over the next few months when something doesn't happen the way you expect it to, you're not sure if it's because of your child's condition or if she's just growing at her own pace. Waiting for the other shoe to drop builds a tension inside you. By mid-June, I was following a rigid rota of appointments with specialists, nappy changes, and night feeds, a routine that was beginning to feel like normality. With so much going on that made me feel helpless and useless, there was a real satisfaction in ticking off small chores. We were processing the news of the diagnosis in different ways, and I think now that the hectic business of meeting publishers to pitch my book was keeping me from breaking down completely. With all this going on, I was really looking forward to having lunch with Frances, a writer friend who had recently returned from Oxford. As we caught up over a lunchtime pint near Stephen's Green, I was interrupted by a phone call from my agent. I had an offer for my book. After the phone call had ended, I remember looking around at passers-by, astonished that they were just walking the streets as if it was an ordinary day. In the way of great friends, Frances was even more excited than I was. Friends can enjoy each other's good news without being doomed to retell it endlessly, which frees them to go bananas when you can't. Once I convinced her that I had no more details to give, we spoke of other matters. Our neighbours, the British, were having a referendum. They weren't as experienced at them as we were, and it looked like this one was going to flop, just as the recent plebiscites on Scottish independence and alternative voting had. Still, no country in Europe over the previous decade had had a successful European referendum first time around. Ireland had rerun two of them. The next day was like a bad dream. Not for the last time in 2016, sadly, my lifelong love of watching election results became a kind of ironic punishment. Brexit had begun, and I was actively worried about the world into which I had brought a child. Perversely, there was a wealth of engaged debate about the value of the European Union and its institutions in the days after the referendum result, more so than in the weeks before the vote. Two things rapidly became apparent. First, the very existence of Ireland had not been part of the Brexit vision. The presence of a land border, the delicate issues surrounding the Good Friday Agreement, the difference between how the Northern Irish public voted and how some of their politicians did, had all been ignored. And this blindness would surely come home to roost for the most ardent supporters of leaving the EU. Second, if a famously cautious electorate such as the British could commit such an atrocious act of self-harm in the pursuit of a white nationalist Tiernan Og, could the Americans do the same? At this stage, Trump was still a ridiculous and hideous prospect. Luaman, an old Irish word for a small hand, hasn't been included in modern dictionaries. I smell a conspiracy. Among the many, many warnings about his character was an incident in which he performed a grotesque, mocking imitation of a reporter with a disability. The Trump and Brexit votes, both taking pollsters by surprise, were attributed to a visceral reaction against those progressive niceties often grouped under political correctness. Health and safety, protections for workers and consumers, sensitive phrasing to replace hurtful or unhelpful words, as well as the trade and migration arrangements negotiated to make war less.